at 7%. Under Biden, they've declined 2.1%. So the American worker is the most vulnerable. So the tax policies he articulated, no tax on tip, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, they benefit the people that need the help the most to restore their income so they can meet the higher cost of living today.
Well, there you have billionaire investor John Paulson talking about under Donald Trump, wages, we're talking about real wages here, grew 7.7%. They declined under Joe Biden, 2.1%. Donald Trump is speaking right now live in Savannah, Georgia, and we're going to listen in to what he has to say because Georgia, of course, is of paramount importance for the Republicans to win in 42 days. Let's listen to Donald Trump from Savannah, Georgia.
But we're here today to talk about how we're going to launch a historic buildup of American manufacturing muscle and might. This is not a rally, although it feels like a rally. It's really a little event with my 5,000 or 6,000 closest friends in the whole world. But Georgia and Savannah are going to be right in the center of the action. We're going to rebuild our manufacturing, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen fast and beautifully. For years, Americans have watched as our country was stripped of jobs and wealth and our companies were sold off to foreign countries. You've been watching, and it's been a horror show. I've been watching for many years, and we had it stemmed. And then all of a sudden, bad things happened. But boy, I'll tell you, we had it stemmed. If we would have had 4 more years, everything, this would be such a different country right now. We would have had no inflation. You wouldn't have Russia attacking Ukraine. You wouldn't have had October 7th with Israel. The Middle East is blowing up. We could be very close to World War III with these characters that don't have any idea what they're doing. But what a shame. In Afghanistan, what a disaster. That was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country, I believe. But GE appliances were sold to the Chinese. IBM computers were again sold to China. Under Kamala Harris, U.S. Steel is now being sold to Japan. I will stop it. We got to do fast. We got to work fast, but we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let U.S. Steel. 70 years ago, the greatest company on earth, U.S. Steel. Now it's going to be sold off like it was nothing. We're not going to let that happen. We'll build it up. We'll make it strong, but we're not going to let that happen. But with the vision I'm outlining today, not only will we stop our businesses from leaving for foreign lands, but under my leadership, we're going to take other countries' jobs. Did you ever hear that expression before? Have you ever heard that we're going to take other countries' jobs? It's never been stated before. We're going to take their factories, and we had it really rocking 4 years ago. We're going to bring thousands and thousands of businesses and trillions of dollars in wealth back to the good old USA. That's what we're going to be doing it and doing it fast. And under my plan, American workers will no longer be worried about losing your jobs to foreign nations. Instead, foreign nations will be worried about losing their jobs to America. Going to bring them back. And it won't even be difficult. Your only worry will be deciding which job to take. There will be plenty of them. That will be your biggest problem. Darling, which company should I go with? We're going to bring them back, and we're going to bring them back at levels not to be believed, but you'll believe it in about 2 years from now. You're going to say, wow, that happened fast. You're going to have so many companies wanting to come in because this is where the money is. It won't be if we keep running it like we have for the last 4 years. But this is what they want. This is what they want, and you'll hear the plan. I want German car companies to become American car companies. I want them to build their plants here. I want to beat China in electronics production, and we'll be able to do that easily. We have the greatest genius, the greatest minds here, and then we end up building them in different places. A lot of that's really stupid tax policy. I want GE, IBM, and every other manufacturer that left us to be filled with regret and come sprinting back to our shores, and they will. So as your president, Here is the deal that I will be offering to every major company and manufacturer on earth. I will give you the lowest taxes, the lowest energy costs, the lowest regulatory burden, and free access to the best and biggest market on the planet, but only if you make your product here in America. It all goes away if you don't make your product here and hire American workers for the job. If you don't make your product here, then you will have to pay a tariff, a very substantial tariff, when you send your product into the United States. And by the way, you know, for years they knocked the word tariff, properly used, is a beautiful word. One of the most beautiful words I've ever heard. It's music to my ears. A lot of bad people didn't like that word, but now they're finding out I was right. And we will take in hundreds of billions of dollars into our treasury and use that money to benefit the American citizens. And it will not cause inflation, by the way. And, you know, I took in from China hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes and tariffs, and I had no inflation. We didn't have any inflation. 1.2%. We had essentially no inflation. Now you've had, over the last 4 years, you've had the highest inflation, I think, in the history of our country. Somebody said, no, sir, it's only 58 years. Well, that's pretty bad, too. I think it's really in the history of our country. This is the policy that built America, and this is the policy that is going to save America. It's going to save us because we have gone so far down in so many different ways. Not to mention the border, not to mention 21 million people pouring in from places unknown, totally unvetted. But like I've always called it, because it's a very beautiful and simple term, it's called America First. We're putting America first. This new American industrialism will create millions and millions of jobs, massively raise wages for American workers, and make the United States into a manufacturing powerhouse like it used to be many years ago. We will be able to build ships again. We will be able to build airplanes at a much higher level again. We will become the world leader in robotics and every other field. The U.S. auto industry, which has been decimated over many, many decades, will once again be the envy of the planet. We're not going to accept all of these cars. They come in from every country. And it knocks out. You know, I was up in Michigan. We're doing very well in Michigan. By the way, we're doing very well in Georgia. We're leading by quite a bit. But pretend you're 1 point down, please, and go and vote, okay? Don't. Just go vote. You got to vote. We got to win this. If we don't win this election, our country is gone. I really believe it. To the auto workers in Michigan, Georgia, and all other parts of our country, I am pinpointing you for greatness. Your industry has been decimated by many decades of incompetent leadership, both political and at your company level. You had presidents of your company that sold out our country. They didn't know what they were doing. They were horrible. And you had politicians that were grossly incompetent to let that happen. Your auto industry has been decimated. And again, with the electric car, it's all going to be made in China. The head of the United Auto Workers ought to be ashamed of himself for what he's done. But we're going to turn it around, and we're going to turn it around fast. China is right now building major auto plants in Mexico. Did you know that? They were going to start with me. I said, no, if you do them, I'm putting a 200% tariff on every car that comes. And they decided we'll pass. Then they said, wow, now we can build Trump. We won't have to worry about him anymore. Oh, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. We're leading in the polls. We're leading by a lot. We're leading by a lot. They said, oh, we don't have to worry about him. No, they have to worry about me. That's why they don't like me. You know, they used to like Obama. They used to like... They like Biden. You know why? Because they got away with murder. That's why they like Biden. They love Biden. Why would you like Biden except that you took advantage of him? They took advantage of him. And they think they're going to sell their cars into the United States and destroy Michigan and South Carolina and North Carolina and Georgia and all of the places that make autos. Not going to happen. We will put a 100% tariff on every single car coming across the Mexican border. And tell them the only way they'll get rid of that tariff is if they want to build a plant right here in the United States with you people operating that plant. We want American citizens and we want their plants built here, not 2 feet over the border and selling them into our country. We're not doing that. We don't do that anymore.
President Trump speaking from Savannah, Georgia. Right now, this is live, and we are excited to bring some of that to you here at the top of the show. But he's talking about things he wants to do. This is policy after policy after policy. Brad, the difference between what he's saying he's going to do as the president and Kamala Harris continuing to talk about the opportunity economy that I guess we're supposed to be living in right now?
Yeah, I would say we are living in the opportunity economy. Kamala Harris has done nothing to separate herself from Joe Biden. If you're curious of what Kamala Harris stands for, you're living in it, and you've been living in it for the past 4 years. If you like that, she's your person. But whenever I listen to Trump here in Savannah, Georgia, what he does is he lays out, he said, hey, remember when I was president and we did these things? We're going to continue to do these things. Plus, here's some more things that we're going to do. And he gives specifics. He doesn't talk about, I grew up in a middle-class family. He actually lays out some solid policy. So much so that whenever he does lay out some solid policy, i.e. no tax on tips, guess who says, you know what, I like that idea, I'm going to do that too. Or, hey, maybe we're going to give a child tax credit up to $5,000. Then somebody else is like, oh, no, that's our thing. We're going to do it for $6,000.
Right. I think she voted against it originally.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Charlie Hurt talking about the opportunity economy.
But the problem with her is that this whole thing about opportunity economy has not really sort of worked out very well for people. Mm-hmm. She has been vice president for the past 3 years. And when Donald Trump talks about these things, he talks about things that people understand. He talks about oil, drilling for oil. He talks about taxes, which people pay. He talks about regulations, which people realize makes things more expensive and has done a lot to bring us all this inflation. And I he just has a vivid way of talking about it and plans that people know actually have worked in the past. Mm-hmm. And people look at where they are now and where they've been for the past 3 years, and they're like, I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it. Can't afford it either. That's the problem here with the Biden-Harris opportunity economy. And, you know, where is it taking us? What kind of people are out there reacting to the economy that we're living in right now? How are they feeling about it? The New York Times did a poll and flushed out some of those details for us.
I think this is really interesting. All right. Choice for president, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina. All right. Hispanic voters. 4 years ago, Joe Biden won that vote 66% in the Sun Belt. Look at where we are now. Kamala Harris at just 52%. So Kamala Harris struggling among Hispanic voters. Donald Trump doing considerably better than he did 4 years ago. How about black voters? Kamala Harris, again, leading here by a significant margin, right? She's getting 83% of that vote. But that is significantly short of Joe Biden's 92%. So the bottom line is, in the Sun Belt, which is much more diverse than the northern battleground states up in the Great Lakes, Kamala Harris is struggling among voters of color.
Jay. Well, that's a New York Times poll being reported on and CNN about Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. Those are all very, very important states to Donald Trump. And if you were listening to what he just said there while he's speaking in Savannah, Georgia, he talks about being up big in Georgia. Well, we're going to take a quick break because when we come back, we're going to cross away from the New York Times polls into some Trafalgar Group polls because we've got our friend Robert Zika Haley back on the show with us to talk about the latest numbers in Georgia, what he's noticing, trends he is looking at, and any type of maybe forks in the road we might see coming up that might cause these polls to be even more definitive as we are 42 days away from the election. Robert Zika Haley on the Annie Fry Show when we come back.
People know the facts of what it looked like when they were under Donald Trump. Prices were flat, wages went up. We were out of World War III, nowhere close to it, and we had a secure border. Now we have the most open border we've had in our history of our country. We're closer to major conflict than we have any time in our lifetime. And the fact of the matter is that the economy is stagnant. You got prices that have gone up and wages that have remained flat. Those are the facts.
So Vivek Ramaswamy there, he's doing a He's got like a Fox Nation special now or something. His book out, Truth.
Yeah.
It's got a book out.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what that means.
Let's go get him. I think it's, he's such a good, he's what I would refer to as the happy warrior. When you see Vivek Ramaswamy, very rarely is he angry or upset. He's like, he's ready to go.
Yeah, he's, you know, I like to watch him. The other day he was on campus with Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And like, you will, if you're going to get hostile people, it's going to be on campus. And he's almost got this way of just taking their energy and calming them down. And he's like, no, let's, your points are valid. Let's hear what you have to say. And then you can hear what I have to say. And then we can maybe find some common ground. And he just has a way about him that he brings everything down and then calms it down and has a really productive conversation with everybody that he talks to.
I admire that. It's something that we try to do here. We'll have people call into the show and they'll be, you know, certainly not Trump supporters. And I think it's interesting to have conversations with people who presume to tell you that because you're a Trump supporter, you therefore X, Y, and Z. Like, they already know these things about you. They've already put you in a box that you'll never be able to get out of. And all of that predicates any conversation that you'll have with them. And when you prioritize talking with an individual who has made all of these assumptions about you, when you prioritize treating them with respect, treating them with kindness, and being willing to listen, it kind of blows the whole thing to smithereens, where they are now in a position where everything that you would have assumed about that individual is shattered now. You may still not agree with their policies or their positions, but wow, I made some major assumptions about this person, and those are very, very much so not true. We're going to speak with Ben Capel. He's the co-producer of Am I Racist? We're going to speak with him at 1:25. I'm very excited to have that conversation with him and talk to him about his experience of talking to these. Well, I mean, producing this movie, Am I Racist, it had to be very interesting to go through the process of watching Matt Walsh do what he did. And I'm very curious. You guys have to come on to the YouTube live chat and tell me. But how many of you have gone out and seen this movie? It is completely and totally worth your time. It is 100% entertainment. And as far as the documentary go, completely makes a point at the end, which is the point of Am I Racist? I think that from the outside looking in, without an educated point of view, without having gone to see the movie, you might think that Matt Walsh is going into these situations to try to prove that that racism doesn't exist and it's not a real thing, and that, you know, all the people on the left who are crying about racism are all liars. That's not at all what the actual point of the conversation ends up being. The point of Am I Racist is that there are people who are making bank off the idea of you feeling a certain type of way. Now, I say you, I don't know what color your skin is, but based on the color of your skin, you are to feel a certain way about your lot in life. You are to act a certain way when you see other people who have skin colors that are different than yours. And the whole idea of Am I Racist is, yeah, this is a thing, but you can't ever even get out of your lot in life. Where you are is where you will be. It's where you've always been. And that's just the way it is. Oh, and by the way, there are people who are willing to take a huge chunk of change from those who will continue to promote that idea. The idea of what they often refer to as anti-racism. Ryan, you saw Am I Racist this weekend. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers to people who haven't seen it so that they can go have the experience for themselves. But we were pretty, Brad and I had seen it.
Oh, yeah.
The weekend before, separately, and individually liked it a lot and spoke highly of it.
Yeah, I really saw it based on you guys' recommendation, because I knew the movie was out there just based on ads and following Matt Walsh and stuff, but it was my birthday, and my wife asked me...
No, it wasn't your birthday. It was your birthday a week earlier.
Well, I was out of town the week before my birthday, yeah. So this was my suggestion to my wife weekend.
If you're new to the show, Ryan's one of those birth month guys.
I would say. And I'm not going to not celebrate it now 2 weeks later.
The way that you acknowledged Brad's birthday in August was to remind us when your birthday was in mid-September.
That was just a reminder. That wasn't celebrate me now. That was just keeping it on your
prepare
radar.
Prepare yourself.
Yeah. So when my wife asked on my birthday, what do you want for your birthday? I said, well, first of all, it's a little late, but I would like to go out this weekend to Andrea's, which we did. We had two nice fillets. And then we went and saw Am I Racist, which was quite a date. And
that's my husband and I did for our anniversary.
You really?
Yeah.
The weekend before. So
we went to Ed Lee's barbecue.
In between eating at Andrea's and going to see the movie, we had about 30 minutes. And she told me while we were waiting, because we went to Home Depot, we were walking around looking for a microwave.
Total thing to do on your 43rd birthday.
Yeah, looking for a new appliance. We had 30 minutes to kill.
Hey, you
want to
walk around Home Depot and dream about appliances?
It's what we did.
Yeah.
And the lady said, what are you guys out doing tonight? Because we were dressed a little nicer than we usually are. And said, well, it's my birthday, so we just went out to eat. And now we're going to go see a movie. And she goes, what movie are you going to go see?
Yeah, it's weird. Because then when you say the name of the movie, you're like,
yeah, so at that exact moment, my wife goes, oh, well, it's a comedy. So we thought maybe that would make it go away. No, she goes, oh, well, what movie is it? At that moment, the wheel of the cart we were pushing got stuck on something. And I went, doggone it, the wheel of this cart's stuck. And so I kind of created a diversion and eventually said, well, we're going to see Matt Walsh's new movie. That's enough.
That's a good way to say it.
Right? And so we did. I have no idea what this lady... Yeah, she was just making conversation. Nothing. We just don't know what it's going to be.
Was she a white lady?
She was.
Okay.
So that's... I just don't know. So I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, it's a weird thing to have, but after you see the movie, you like go back and think of that in that situation where you're trying to have a completely innocuous, completely normal conversation, but there's all this pretense that has to exist, and the truth is that all you're trying to do is the right thing.
Yes.
You might end up doing the wrong thing, but I'm really trying hard to do the right thing.
And the thing is, the movie is intentionally provocative. It is pushing buttons in our society that people say, no, 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 you can't push those. And so even saying the name of the movie, that's my point, is provocative. That's the point of the movie. So going to see it, I was a little surprised by how funny it was.
Did you laugh out loud?
Numerous times.
Did your wife laugh out loud? Was she super uncomfortable?
I don't know if you ever watched the first season of The Office. Maybe it was the first couple seasons. But they would do a lot of uncomfortable, kind of halfway racial humor within The Office, like with Mindy Kaling being Indian and some of the other people being white and stuff like that. And they had a gay character. They'd do stuff that was just uncomfortable. It was that kind of laughter the whole time where you're like, I am uncomfortable and this is really funny.
Yeah.
And so she was laughing. Man, I couldn't tell if the theater was just erupting the whole time because the guy next to me was probably 50, 60 years old and he just was losing it.
Yeah, it's so funny. And as soon as other people start laughing, because it's one of those things you're like, this is really funny. If I laugh at this, or other people, is everybody else going to laugh at it? By the end, to me, it's like you don't know who the people are in the theater with you, but you'll grow together.
Yes.
And at the end of the movie, you'll be laughing together at the absurdity of what you're seeing.
And there's an interesting reason that you're laughing, because sometimes, I'm not saying that the whole movie, because you go to see a movie that's very propaganda based, I'm not saying this one is, but if you go to one that is like watching The Daily Show or watching John Oliver, if you watch those shows and you're a leftist, you laugh because you're like, ha, these idiots. That's not what Am I Racist is. There are times where you might laugh because you're just laughing because, they made a good point.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're laughing because they keep pressing those social buttons that you're like, ah, ha, 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 this is uncomfortable. So it's not that like rhetoric humor that makes you feel holier than thou. It's just funny.
When you walked into the theater and you sat down next to that guy, were you like, I'm Ryan Wiggins? You did.
No.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, you did.
He did.
He sat down next to me.
He did.
And he goes, are you Ryan Wiggins?
He did not.
You're right.
He did not.
None of that happened.
Were you like, honey, when I sit down, be like, Ryan Wiggins, would you pass the Coke?
Yeah. Look, you're not on the radio right now. Just be normal. I told her to say that.
Just be normal.
Yeah, just be normal. You're not doing your show, your number one your rated schtick. Show or whatever. And she didn't say that. I was really disappointed. I'm like, this is my birthday. You can't even say one line out loud in a theater.
She says that, you act all vague, and then she leans over and goes, it's his birthday, I'm making it up. It's a role play thing.
You know what's funny is we went to O'Fallon, and the show, you know, it was number 4 last week, so that meant that there are bigger movies that have outrun it, like Deadpool and Wolverine, and some of these, like Speak No Evil, and some of these are big, big movies with big stars in them. So Am I Racist was in the furthest down theater, mm-hmm. the smallest theater. Mm-hmm. Man, it was jam-packed, though. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, I can't see this. Usually that's right before it steps out of the theater, yeah. is that theater. I can't see that one not having another week.
But you don't
it should stay.
And it's a great thing for movie theaters, because you're filling that little theater.
Uh-huh.
When movies get into that little theater,
they're on their way out.
They're not really filling up the movie yeah. theater. If you can stick a movie like that in a theater like that and fill it up, and then let your blockbusters be... Because I don't need to see Am I Racist in a leather-bound chair that vibrates when the racism really gets significant.
Oh, I do, and it was awesome. That was one of the best parts. Feet up.
Well, we've got Ben Capel on at 125.
I can't wait. That's going to be so fun.
Do you want to be in here for that?
Heck yeah.
Okay. Well, you can come in and join us, because he's the co-producer of Am I Racist, and he is also one of Matt Walsh's 17 black friends.
He is in
or
the movie.
Or 13, actually.
He's one of the stars of one of the biggest movies in America right
he's
now.
He's the only other actor in the movie.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody else is not in on it.
Uncle Frank.
Okay. Maybe we can get Uncle Frank tomorrow.
We'll just put that to the side. Yes. Yes. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins, you've got Wiggins America next. What is the important topic of the day?
How to properly execute the perfect buffet meal.
Yeah, don't.
It's an election season, so.
So what?
You know, we're just trying to bring you the important stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, buffet etiquette with Wiggins America when we come back. I don't know if it's the do's or the don'ts, but we'll find out from Ryan next. Don't go away.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
Well, this is why I exist, to tell you about how to execute the perfect buffet meal.
Of course.
Self-awareness is a... mastered art.
Can I just tell you before I start this?
You can do whatever you want. It's your segment.
I had a random day to myself about 3 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly why. I think my wife had to take kids to birthday parties or something. And for some reason, I had not any reason to participate in that. So I just started driving. I was like, I need to run an errand. And then I just kept driving. I'm like, I'm alone.
Did you listen to Celine Dion with the windows down?
Yeah.
I drove all night. Yeah. You're like, forget about Roy Orbison. Give me Celine.
I just turned on whatever was on, and it was Celine. So
you sound pretty confident about your ability to... Never mind.
And I found myself... Just driving, you know.
I'm just picturing you driving up, like, to Grafton with the river on the side, the bluffs on the other.
Yeah, wearing my sunglasses.
All night
convertible.
To get to you. And it's ice cream in Grafton.
Listen to the boy.
Do you get in the car and drive to get your ice cream in Grafton?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Just driving the Great River Road, listening to Boys of Summer.
Celine Dion, don't lie.
No, I was listening to...
Don Henley.
Don Henley. Thank you. You knew. That's rare.
Only the greats.
Wayfarers on.
Were
baby.
You going to tell the rest of your story?
Ended up at a buffet. I just was driving.
So you got time to yourself, and you got in a car and randomly drove until you found a buffet.
It was like an out of body experience. I didn't even mean to. I just pulled into a parking lot. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here now? That's a
Were
buffet.
Were you even hungry?
Oh, yeah, I'm always hungry.
It's true.
That's never a question. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm unlocking my car. I'm getting out. I'm walking in. What is happening? I'm walking into a buffet by myself. And I ate a full buffet meal at a Chinese buffet by myself. It was glorious. It was fantastic.
I don't think you're supposed to talk about these things.
Yes, you are. This
no.
is the whole segment
And the people
about
who
it.
Were there that were also alone, you're not supposed to talk about them either.
They weren't alone. There was nobody in there alone except for me. Everybody's with their family,
yeah.
with loved ones. I was with the one I loved the most, myself. And I thought...
Is the Chinese buffet the best buffet?
Yes.
Never been.
You've never been to a Chinese buffet?
I don't know that I've ever had Chinese food.
It's not the best buffet.
Oh, yes, it is. No. Tell me what's better. Tell me what's better.
Let me tell you why it's not the best. Is because the owner sits there and stares at you after you go up to get your seventh or eighth plate and like...
Well, I judge you too.
Yeah, but it's a buffet. That's the point.
I like the way you're thinking. What's a better buffet, though?
Oh, there's no such thing as a good buffet.
Breakfast, maybe?
No.
A breakfast buffet?
No.
Those are usually pretty good.
Are you always a quantity over quality eater? If you went to a really, really high-end meal and you got like 12 plates, but they were all the like 2-bite servings, and you were still hungry at the end, would you be upset?
I would say as a younger man, I would have been quality over quantity. As I've gotten older and refined my palate, I will only choose food at a buffet, for instance, that is very, very good. Like, I'll go to the hibachi buffet.
You said originally when you were younger, you were quality over quantity.
Sorry, reverse that.
Okay.
I'm quality over quantity now. So I don't eat. That's why I was surprised to be eating a buffet. I just don't really do it as much. But I still do enjoy them.
But the dirty little secret of Ryan Wiggins when he has alone time. That he goes to a buffet
subconsciously.
Alone.
Subconsciously.
Subconsciously. No!
Yeah, how do you subconsciously go to a buffet?
Like I said, I was just driving, listening to Boys of Summer. I'm a Wayfarer's on, baby. And then here I am. All right, the rules for eating at a buffet. You can
totally
see if
Celine Dion.
You agree with these.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, and this is just in the order that the article from Taste and Flavor magazine.
Buffet etiquette?
Buffet etiquette.
When was the last time you were at a buffet, Brad?
Oh, man. I bet you it's been 4 or 5 years.
Any?
Don't remember.
Even at Disney or anything, you don't eat at buffets?
No.
Okay. Oh gosh, buffets.
The way to go
underrated.
Is family style meal. That's the that's the personal buffet where you're eating family, like you're eating a mini buffet with your family.
It's true, but there aren't as many options. Number one, respect the buffet's opening. Wait until the buffet is officially open.
Excuse me?
Before going to the door.
What?
I kid you not, that is number one on the list.
It's like yard sales.
What is the alternative?
The alternative is that you are waiting outside the door for them to open it so that you can run in.
Rope drop the buffet.
Yes. Yes. Apparently, this is such a problem that Taste and Flavors magazine made it their number one in buffet etiquette. Respect the buffet's opening. Number two, line/queue protocol. Take note of any lines present. If there are multiple sections to your buffet, choose where to start wisely. This seems fairly obvious to me.
How are people doing this wrong?
I will say this. Sometimes people walk up to the side that most people, like people will line up on one side and there's no established rule to which side you have to go to.
Maybe there is. Maybe this article is about you.
But what they're saying is that if you see a line starting and you just kind of jump in the middle, that's not really cool. You got to get in the line that's forming and kind of go with the flow because it can get a little crazy up there. Number three. Strategic serving. Pace yourself by starting with appetizers and salads before moving on to the main course.
That's called a meal.
Was this written by buffet companies?
I think it was written by Ryan to try to normalize buffets.
It's like buffet etiquette. Don't come to our doors too early and eat all our food.
Mm-hmm.
Start with appetizers so you fill up so you don't get yourself on the expensive stuff. And eat all of our food.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to maximize their profits by giving you advice on how to be on buffet etiquette.
Andy says, very meta moment for me, listening to this while in a pizza buffet in Highland.
No way!
Mentally checking for violations now.
Andy!
Tell the people at the Highland Pizza Buffet hello from Ryan Wiggins.
Number four, listen loudly to the radio while at the buffet.
But aloud... The Annie Fry Show.
That's not explicitly stated here, but implied. That if it's conservative talk radio, you'll get away with it. More people will become your friends.
Andy?
How are you getting away with listening to this?
Tell Highland that the Annie Fry Show said hi.
Yeah, crank it up right now because I'm about to give a big shout out to Highland Pizza Hut.
We don't know for sure it's Pizza Hut. Probably is.
I thought he said pizza buffet.
You know what? I've eaten at the Highland Pizza Hut buffet.
Thank you.
Maybe. Did I? Pizza buffets are the only buffets that I ever really will willfully partake in. I forgot that that's a thing.
Cece's?
Pantera's.
You ever had one of those? Pantera? Oh, in
Pantera's, Pantera's Pizza Buffet.
That's a good one.
I'll do that. Because you can see the pizzas when they come out, and you can... But if it's like... If there are three or four pieces of pizza left on that, I'm waiting for a full one.
Are you?
Do you see what the kids do?
No, I don't. Yeah. I avert my eyes.
They're like, this one? No. This one? No. This one? Okay.
Dessert pizza?
Sure. Cherry.
Yeah, I like them too.
Mm-hmm.
There is the one plate rule. Avoid the temptation to pile up plates in one trip. They're not saying you can't get multiple plates back and forth, but in one trip, just get one plate.
What if you want to get, for instance, in my pizza buffet at Pantera's, we'll get the salad and the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put them on the same plate, but I do put my salad on a plate. That is, you put the dressing on the bottom of the plate. And then you put the salad on top and eat it that way.
But you're carrying two plates?
Yeah, salad plate and a pizza plate.
You have broken the rules.
Apparently.
No. Taste and Flavor magazine.
Why would I put my pizza on? The plates aren't even that big, which is probably buffet trickery.
It is trickery. I don't like that. Number six, utensil etiquette. Use the provided serving utensils rather than your hands to handle the food. This one seems a little obvious to me. Like, if you're getting Kung Pao chicken, don't just stick your fist in and grab as much as you can.
Ladle the egg drop soup out with your hand and pour it into a bowl.
Put it in your shirt.
Highland Pizza Buffet might be Mazio's, which is a place that I used to go with my grandparents a long time ago, my Hamill grandparents. We would go to Highland for the pizza at Mazio's.
Right. You're right.
And I like the Mazio's, so if that's it, shout out to Mazio's.
I've been there too.
Scratch
Hello, Mazio's.
It from Pizza Hut.
Yeah, turn it back up real quick, Andy. Shout out to Highland Mazio's. Okay, you can turn it back
down. It's a big day in Highland.
Highland's
pizza
having a good
news.
Time today. Returning utensils. After use, return your serving utensils to the respective dishes, ensuring that there's no cross-contamination. So don't spoon out something like a pasta out of one and then go spoon out some Kung Pao chicken out of the other. Don't do that.
All of these rules, the fact that somebody wanted to write an article about... How many more rules do you have? Do you need more time?
There's a ton.
Give us another minute, Brad, if you could, please. But like the fact that somebody was like, these rules need to be written for all of time.
Yeah.
Is why I don't go to buffets.
People are doing it.
Yeah.
No eating in line.
Are you guilty? Have you done it?
No.
Dang it.
You know what? I might have eaten, like, once in a while, I might try a sushi in line just to see if I like it. But it's usually if nobody's around. Is that okay? You know, if there's nobody around you, you're not slowing up the line.
No, crime and sin is not okay in secret.
It's in public still. There's just nobody around that I'm getting in the way of. No eating in line. Refrain from munching on items while still in the buffet queue.
No. Not
Wait until you're seated.
Yeah.
And the last one, no returning food. Once selected, commit to your choices. Don't return items to the buffet line.
Man.
Don't do it.
Mazio's confirmed by Andy. Ding, ding.
Yes.
Obey these rules. And if you need a Ryan Wiggins appearance at Mazio's, for the price of probably one comped buffet. Yeah,
I'll make the trip tomorrow after our remote in St. Charles.
Go to St. Charles.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
But no, listen, if you are in the market tomorrow to kill some time in the afternoon, noon to 3, we're broadcasting live in the St. Charles Ruler Foods, and we need to create a mountain of diapers that we are going to hand over to Princess Storm and her diaper drive for the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Buffet Etiquette by Ryan Wiggins.
You're welcome.
It's needed, I suppose. Jim Carafano and Ben from Am I Racist? Next hour, don't go away.